Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Thanks for joining us here in our second hour of Circles of Change, our Thanksgiving week, as well as Tucson's Tour de Tucson. Thanks for all of our visitors from out of town, cyclists, and their support staffs. Welcome to the show, Sharon Lechter. How are you this morning, Sharon?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Very much. Well, it's a real pleasure. Our segment is going to be called The Secret of Freedom and Success. And Sharon is an entrepreneur, author, philanthropist, educator, and international speaker, as well as a licensed CPA and probably at best mom and grandmother. She's been a pioneer in developing new technologies, programs, and products to bring education into children's lives in ways that are innovative, challenging, and fun. And she remains committed to that educational role, particularly financial literacy. She's co-author of the best-selling book, Think and Grow Rich, 3 Feet from Gold, with the Napoleon Hill Foundation, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and 14 other books in that Rich Dad series. And Sharon's most recent book is Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. It's a manuscript hidden for over 70 years that she updated and annotated for the modern reader. And that's going to be our focus today. She's an accounting graduate of Florida State University. And Sharon's career actually started with joining a Big Eight accounting firm. And she went on to hold various management positions with computer insurance and publishing companies while maintaining her professional credentials as a CPA. In addition to her writing today, Sharon is the founder of Pay Your Family First, a company dedicated to empowering children and families to build prosperous futures through financial literacy education. Well, with that, Sharon, just to level up everyone's understanding, those of us, of course, in the coaching field and certain possibility thinkings know of Napoleon Hill, but perhaps many of our listeners may not. Who was Napoleon Hill?
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, Napoleon Hill really is considered the grandfather of personal development and personal finance. Back in 1908, Andrew Carnegie, who was the richest man in the world at the time, felt that there was a formula to success. And so he charged Napoleon Hill as a young man and said, I want you to go out and study success. I will open the doors to all of my friends and let you interviewed them. He said, it's going to take you 20 plus years, and I'm not going to pay you anything. Do you want the opportunity? And he basically literally had a stopwatch. He gave Napoleon Hill 60 seconds to decide. And Napoleon Hill, of course, beat the clock and said, yes, yes, I want to do that. And it literally did take him 25 years. He released Think and Grow Rich in 1937. And that's the reason it's so powerful, because it's not one man's philosophy. It's not one woman's philosophy of success. It is the synthesis, like the theme paper, the term paper of success, because he interviewed over 500 successful people and thousands of people who considered themselves failures. And from that came up with Think and Grow Rich. And it really helped us get out of the Great Depression. And so a couple of years ago, the foundation reached out to me and said, Sharon, because of what's happening in the current economy, we need to get this message back out in the world today. And so I was really honored to be asked to work with them. My first book was called 3 Feet from Gold. And then Outwitting the Devil, which you kindly referred to, was actually something that had been hidden away for 73 years. Because as Napoleon Hill wrote Think and Grow Rich, he was also stymied by the fact that even though people know what they need to do to be successful, and I think many of your listeners will relate to this, we may know what we're supposed to do, but something holds us back. We still don't do it. There's those self-limiting beliefs. And so Think and Grow Rich was the right message at the time, back in the Great Depression, and it still is valid today. But the thing that's so important today from Outwitting the Devil is the fact that it helps you face the fear, helps you understand things that may have happened to you as a child, things that hold you back, that cripple you, those self-limiting beliefs that will help you acknowledge them, recognize them, and get rid of them.
So that was your point, of course, is this idea that he interviewed 500 people, successful, thousands that were failures, you know, through those formative years of his own life coming to a place, and then carried that through for 20 years. So the other point of this message, Sharon, your books and the work from Napoleon Hill Foundation, it's absolutely timeless, right? It can hit every single cycle whenever it might play out.
Well, you're absolutely correct. When they asked me to step in, I actually read Think and Grow Rich when I was 19, which was a few years ago. But I thought, okay, well, I reread it. I reread it again because I read it every few years. And I said, this message is still strong today, but a lot of young people don't know who Napoleon Hill is. But yet what you just said is absolutely accurate. The messages in Think and Grow Rich are definitely timeless. But what we found today with the Gen Yers is they actually start by reading Outwitting the Devil. They love it because it's a little provocative. It's a little in your face. And then that opens the door for them to read Think and Grow Rich because they see value. They see recognition in the messages that are in Outwitting the Devil because they're much more, they confront the truth. They talk about the role that fear plays in our lives. Fear, as the devil describes in Outwitting the Devil, is his greatest tool. And through fear, he paralyzes us. And certainly, if you look at what's happened in the economy since the end of 2007, we have all been crippled by fear. I don't think anyone has not been touched by it.
It's really, really true. In fact, again, for those, the book we're speaking about is from Sharon Lechter, and the book is called Outwitting the Devil, The Secret to Freedom and Success. It's a manuscript that she rewrote sections of it to make it much more contemporary as well. It's nicely annotated throughout. But the core of the book is actually Napoleon's Hill's interview with the devil. So it's a back and forth dialogue. It's a very fast read. Why do you think he did it that way?
I think he did it because he understood the power of storytelling. And he also wanted, the very first part of the book is where he shares his own life's journey. And most of us think of him as this great leader and this great philosopher. And so in the book, he actually reveals times in his own life when he felt like a failure, times when he couldn't buy his children gifts for the holidays, times when he was in hiding because the mafia had a hit on him. And so it makes you as the reader relate to him as a person, knowing that even as successful as he became, he had moments in his life where he himself felt like a failure. And so you realize that we all are on this journey. Life is a journey, not a destination. And sometimes we have setbacks, and the issue is to find the opportunity. Napoleon Hill said, out of every adversity, every failure comes the seed of an equal or greater benefit. The issue is, are you in a position to recognize it? And so that's the power of Outwitting the Devil, and the fact that because it's a journey and it's a story, the reader starts realizing and relating to certain things that are shared in the book. And he himself has an epiphany one night in his life, and this is when he has this interrogation of the devil. And he's classic because he again empowers the reader. He says, as the reader, it's up to you. You can think that I'm talking to the real devil, or you can think I'm talking to an imaginary devil. It doesn't really matter to me.
It's still something that's distracting you, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the question is whether you will get any benefit from what I share.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so powerful because he, throughout the book, empowers you as the reader to choose the role you want to play.
Now, the additional story behind the story, though, is the fact that, let's use that word fear, there was some fear around this manuscript that it was being withheld for years to not be surfaced.
It's an incredible story. It's so right. His own wife was paralyzed by fear over just the title. She was working for the Methodist Church, and she said, I do not want this book published. And so that's why it was hidden for 73 years. Napoleon Hill died in 1970. His wife died in 84, but her sister just died 3 years ago, and that's when the manuscript was turned over to the foundation. And the part that's spine-tingling is, as you read the manuscript, there's a section in there where, in this interrogation with the devil, he says, Hill says, aren't you afraid, Mr. Devil, that I'm going to give away all your secrets, and you're going to lose control of all these people's souls? And the devil's response, and again, this was typed on a manual typewriter in 1938, so nobody could have structured it and put it back in there. But in 1938, as he was writing the manuscript, the devil's response is, I'm not afraid at all because you are going to be too afraid to publish it.
Wow.
And indeed, that's exactly what happened.
That's right. That's right. But the other question, of course, as you read through, is that there's, and you know, Napoleon Hill doesn't pull any punches laced behind the storytelling about the education system at the time, about religion, about politics, about ego. And of course, I loved your annotations that said, are there some common threads here that we should pay attention to, folks?
It is. It's amazing. I mean, as I'm reading through the book, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a hot potato. He didn't leave any taboo unturned, as you mentioned. You know, this was definitely everything you're not supposed to talk about at a cocktail party.
He talks about. Yeah, that's right.
But he talks, but the way he shares the information, for instance, on religion, which of course was what his wife was afraid about. In the book, he doesn't take on any particular religion. What he says is, were you raised in a religion of faith, or were you raised in a religion of fear? Because if it's fear-based, that is when the devil messes with your mind. And so it immediately allowed me to go back to my teenage years. I was raised in the Southern Baptist Church. And I still remember the minister that scared me to death when I was 15 and made me feel I was going to go straight to hell. But yet in that same church, I had a youth pastor that lifted me up in faith and allowed me to believe I could achieve and be anything I wanted to be. So it's not an indictment of religion. It's an indictment of how you learn your religion. And are you going to church because you're afraid, or are you going to church because you have faith?
The other thing that's so marvelous, Sharon, I've read, of course, in the introduction where you have throughout your life spent your time in the philanthropy sector and focused on financial literacy, on working with children and families to honor and understand the role of money in our lives. And lo and behold, you're tossed this project, shall I say. Well, I won't say tossed, but, you know, your association, you got this opportunity to bring this to life. And it weaves so nicely into the work that otherwise so captures your own heart, of helping us ground our children in a better relationship with money.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because it is. You talk about incredible validation. It was just, I felt like somebody just kind of plugged into my heart as I'm reading this section of religion, of education, because he talks about, again, were your teachers teaching you through fear or through faith? And he talks about the religious, you know, the educational system of, we have to stop drilling information into our kids' head. We need to create problem solvers and creative thinkers. And that the traditional education system, and again, remember he wrote this in 1938. How different could we be today if this really had gotten out then? He says, you know, instead of making our children teaching them to the test, making them memorize and regurgitate, he says we need to allow them to be entrepreneurial, have them think, become problem solvers, become critical thinkers. Our teachers need to be mentors, not drill sergeants. I mean, there's so much in here that's just a wealth of information, and it validates, because all of our products, my company name is Pay Your Family First, and everything we create is experiential tools. And we've been blessed. It'll receive all kinds of awards on our Thrive Time for Teens game and our Biz Kit. We just received a 2011 Mom's Gold Choice Award on our Biz Kit, which is an entrepreneurial program to ignite that entrepreneurial spirit in your children. But the thing that was so validating for me is not the awards we've received, but when we see young people playing the game or working with our Biz Kit and the lights turn on. And once a child knows that they can create money on their own, that they can do something to earn their own money, it's a gift of a lifetime. You talk about increasing their self-esteem, it's magical. And yet we're not giving them those tools in school. So it's up to you and I, as concerned parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, or just concerned adults, that we make sure that our younger generation is prepared for the world they face, because the only way they're going to succeed is to take control of their own financial lives. And we're still not teaching them about money in school. So we need to make sure they get the information and education that they need. And it was so incredibly well laid out in Outwitting the Devil about the things that we can do to inspire our young people, the things that we can create. The root word of education, educati, means to draw out.
Right,
not
beat in.
Drill in.
You know, the other piece of this, of course, and I think Napoleon Hill's manuscript resonates this as well, it's one thing to have the tools for schools, but also you know, your company, the founder, is pay your family first. This is also about what we gift and reinforce in our own behaviors as parents and how we raise our families. And truly, are we putting in systems and expectations for our children? Like some will say, earlier generations had paper routes, babysitting, etc., as opposed to, oh, here, go borrow my credit card and go make it, you know, go get what it is you want. So the two have to be partnered together, don't they?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And what we have in the world today is we talk about our kids have an entitlement mentality and we want to blame the kids. Well, in essence, where did that come from? It came from an expectation that they're going to get whatever they need. And where did that expectation come from? Mom and dad, because we gave them everything they needed. And I'm as guilty as the next person, but it's very important for people to understand that our kids, because of the world that we have, we live in with its credit cards and instant gratification, we've dropped goal setting and achieving goals. And so I tell parents, you know, start with little goals and little wins for your kids, and you're going to start seeing that self-esteem go up. Instead of saying we can't afford it, say to your young person, how can we afford this? What can you do to earn the money to buy that? And allow them to set a goal, allow them to work towards it, achieve it, and then celebrate the win. And those little wins start adding up, and you're going to see the self-esteem in your child go up immensely. But what we do is we just let them have whatever they want. And so we actually build in this employee mentality or this entitlement mentality because they're not earning it. We're just giving it to them.
Well, and also in that, right, and then also in this process, there's going to be setbacks along the way. And whether you call it a setback or a failure, that's all about developing resilience, creatively looking for other ways to approach things. You know, it's that ebb and flow. You know, it's kind of interesting. We said, you know, some people might pick up this book. Again, it's Outwitting the Devil, The Secret to Freedom and Success, and say, oh, what a shame that this didn't come out back in 1939 or somewhere between then and now. But there's another piece of it that says, you know, you shouldn't open a bottle of wine before it's time. And perhaps the circumstances weren't right enough, as they certainly are today, Sharon, for people to pay attention to the message.
I love that. I couldn't agree more. In fact, when I have my conclusion statement, my last comment is that, yes, his wife didn't want to publish, but I truly believe there was a greater power at work.
Yeah.
Because the message of Think and Grow Rich was the right message of its time. If Outwitting the Devil had come out, then it may not have allowed Think and Grow Rich to season and to create the impact around the world that it did. Over 100 million of them have been sold. But yet today, even though Think and Grow Rich is just as relevant and powerful today, you're absolutely correct. I believe today we need that extra kick in the pants, and that Outwitting the Devil was truly intended for today. And as I looked through it and I read through the original manuscript, I was probably only the fifth person on earth to have read the manuscript. And it was a little disconcerting when I first got it, because I said, this is very controversial. And then I read it. And when you read the book, I guarantee you, well, I will tell you, it changed my life. And I've been involved with 17 successful books, been blessed and honored to be involved with them. But I will tell you, of the 17 books, including Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and all the Rich Dad series, and 3 Feet from Gold, I will tell you the one that has had the most impact on my life is Outwitting the Devil. I'm 40 pounds lighter today because of having been involved with Outwitting the Devil, because it allows you to understand that you are where you are today because of the choices you've made.
You bet.
Nobody else. You. And if you want something different in your life, you're in charge of making different choices. And that is such a powerful message, and it's a powerful message for parents as it relates to your children. Because the power of choice, and that's the basis of our Thrive Time for Teens game, is that they learn that the choices they make with not only their money, but how they spend their time, every choice they make is going to either drive them to success, to thriving, or dive into debt. And the more we can empower our kids to understand that they are the CEOs of their own life, and they are in their choices will dictate their future path, it's an incredible tool, and it's an incredible opportunity for us as parents to empower our kids when they're still at home. Exactly as you said, allow them to stub their toe while they're still at home. all of us want to put our kids in bubbles and keep them from having any failures. Well, if we don't allow them to hit the ground and recover on their own, they're not going to learn that resilience. They're not going to learn how to recover and learn the lesson. And when you look at a car, I use a parable. You know, your car has a windshield. You have the opportunity to go in any direction you want in your life. It's your choice. But your rear view mirror is very small. And it's small because you're just supposed to remember the lessons of the past. And those lessons will help you determine what direction you want to go in.
That's right. So, Sharon, you started to touch on this whole aspect when you were first given the manuscript. And it's typed, you know, clearly on a good old-fashioned click, click, click typewriter. What was that experience like for you to read it from start to finish for the first time? Was this a wave of things? Was it your emotions all over the place in the process?
Yeah, it was pretty magical. I mean, when I first got it, I thought, oh, whoa, this is a hot potato. And then I started reading it, and truly an incredible sense of calm came over me. I'm not one that seeks confrontation. I'm not one that goes out to look for controversy. But I was enthralled in the book. And a tremendous sense of calm came over me, and it was as if I'd been given a huge gift and at the same time a huge responsibility.
Absolutely, responsibility for that. Well, it's been a tremendous opportunity for us. Again, the book is called Outwitting the Devil, The Secret to Freedom and Success. It was written originally by Napoleon Hill some 73 years ago, just recently surfaced. Sharon's role really is she's the broker of this knowledge for all of us through the Napoleon Hill Foundation. She brought it some of the words from more contemporary framing as well as annotated it nicely throughout that. So I would ask, you did share with us the fact that you're going through this has changed your life. Just in general, Sharon, the fact that your calling has included writing and messaging for others, I sense it's really continued to fuel your own personal change then.
Oh, absolutely. And when it stops doing that, I need to stop participating, because each and every one of us, Charlie Tremendous Jones said, you know, you're going to be the same person in 5 years as you are today, except for the two things, the people you meet and the books that you read. And so, you know, just to regurgitate a book and throw it out there, you're just adding noise to the environment. Every book needs to impact the author as much as it impacts the reader.
It does.
Well, and if you're not communicating with the reader, if you're not sharing a message that can move them towards their goal, then why bother? And so I'm just incredibly honored to have been asked to participate with the Napoleon Hill Foundation. And it's also a huge responsibility because, you know, Napoleon Hill is no longer with us. And so I have to make sure that I'm honoring him and honoring his philosophy. And adding credence and support, not changing.
Absolutely. Well, Sharon, as with I'm sure all your other books, it's going to be a marvel to watch now what's manifested as you've brought this additional child to the earth, shall we say, as it grows up and you with it. So for our interested readers, again, you can visit Sharon Lecter, LECHTER.com, or PayYourFamilyFirst.com to learn about her work. And again, the book, Outwitting the Devil, The Secret to Freedom and Success. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving week, Sharon, and thanks so much for giving time to us today.
Well, you are fabulous, and thank you so much, and I appreciate the fact that you're bringing this message to your listeners, and I applaud you for all you do. Thank you so much.
Great.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.